Amen. I want to read to you a little quotation that I got from a book a gentleman wrote concerning George Washington Carver. And in talking to George Washington Carver, they asked him about the role of prayer in his life and how did he manage to unlock secrets. So some background on George Washington Carver is that he became a Christian as a child, and he grew up in a rural area, initially as a slave and eventually being emancipated. But one of the things that he is well known for is the number of inventions that he received from God and how he implemented those inventions. And how in Tuskegee, Alabama, he was able to generate more millionaires in a 20-year period of time through instruction at the Tuskegee Institute than Harvard at the same amount of time. Now, this is all from a person who started life born as a slave. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not a slave. Listen to this. He said, there is literally nothing that I ever wanted to do that I asked the blessed Creator to help me to do that I have not been able to accomplish. It is all very simple. If one knows how to talk to the Creator, it is simply seeking the Lord and finding Him. All my life, I have risen regularly at 4 o'clock and have gone into the woods and talked with God. There, He gives me my orders for the day. When people are still asleep, I hear God's best and learn my plan. After my morning's talk with God, I go into my laboratory and I begin to carry out His wishes for the day. So I'm trying to find out what's the secret to this man's ability. He said, first of all, I went out and I prayed. I found a quiet place. I walked out into the woods. And there at 4 a.m. when most people are still asleep, I'm talking with God, not talking to God. Talking with God. Now, when you say talking with God, it infers that both you are talking and you're hearing back. My struggle early in my life with trying to understand Christianity and trying to understand prayer is that I'm trying to hear God like I hear people. And he said, it's really actually very simple once you know how to talk with the Creator. See, if you try to talk to God like you talk to people, then you don't hear anything back because God is not a man. See, I talk to my dog, right? Zora, sit. What does the dog do? Sometimes she does and sometimes she don't. Now, I can make sure she does if I have an incentive for her. In other words, if I just say, sit, the dog looks at me like, why? Number one, matter of fact, I don't even know what you're saying. But if I act like I have something in my hand, I say, Zora, sit. Whoop. Why? The incentive. Even when we don't speak the same language, the incentive brings about a behavior change. So God is all around, eternal, the creator of all things, able to do and create things that I can only imagine. I sat in a physics class and got so lost listening to the mathematical equation of physics. Okay, took me a long time to get it and to grasp it. And I sat in a calculus class and I'm trying to listen, and the teacher wrote this long equation on the board and he turned around and said, am I right or what? I wouldn't know if you're right or wrong. Because there's a language of mathematics that I was not yet aware of. I learned the language and eventually could do the problems. I learned the language of physics and eventually was able to do physics. But when I didn't know, it was all foreign to me. And it was as foreign to me as someone trying to command a dog to do something that the dog has no idea what he's doing. I'm not calling anybody a dog. But I'm saying to think about it. When two things are not the same, they have a hard time communicating. So if I'm not versed in an area and you talk to me about that area, I don't understand it. But if you teach me, you don't put information into me. You put information around me and it's revealed to me what you're saying. So when George Washington Carver starts to discover how to talk to the Creator, all of a sudden, he was not only able to talk to God, he was able to extract information from things that seemed inanimate. Now, what I mean by that? He stared at the peanut until it talked back to him. Peanuts don't have mouths. How did a peanut talk? Now, I know y'all all think about that Planters peanut with that top hat. No, I'm not talking about that one. A peanut talked back to him. How in the world did the peanut talk back to a man? See, there's a language that God has created that he wants to share with us. He wants to teach us how to solve problems. He wants to teach us how to know, how to understand things. But the challenge is that we've become so religious that we've gotten to where we know how to sing unto the Lord, but we don't know how to hear back from the Lord. And when we're talking about becoming a house of prayer, we're talking about becoming a place where communication between us and God becomes fluid. But God is not going to change his language, which means I need to learn God's language. Turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 61. No, go to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. A little difference there. Isaiah 6, verse 1. The prophet Isaiah has an encounter with God. And in this encounter, he has an experience with God. And I want us to look closely at this experience and think about what we just read and heard about George Washington Carver. Because what's important about all the things that George Washington Carver said is that, number one, he went out to pray and talk with God. But number two, he said God gave him orders for the day. He wasn't going on his own. God gave him orders for the day. And when he heard the orders, he knew what his plan was. In other words, his plan was based on God's orders, not based on his desires. And then finally, he went into his laboratory and he began to carry out God's wishes for the day. All right? Now, let's look at this. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting high on a throne, lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world is full of what? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All the world is filled with his glory." The peanut is filled with God's glory. The reason that George Washington Carver was able to talk to the peanut and find out what it was is because all he was doing was talking with the glory of the Lord. You're going to get it in a minute. All he was doing is having a conversation with God. The world is full of God's glory. When we learn how to speak the language of God, we will be able to unlock reality that people are walking past all the time. That's why miracles happen. Miracles happen because someone has tapped into truth that other people haven't grasped yet. And he said, it's not hard. It's not hard. All you have to do is know how to talk to the Creator. Let's have the monitors come down just a little bit. I'm ringing because of the monitors. Look at the next verse, verse 4. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken from tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Turn to your neighbor and say, your sin is purged. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. First things about God's glory is God's glory is his presence in a place. Now, God's the creator of everything. God's glory is his presence in a place. Wherever God's presence is, there's a revelation that when God is with us, he's there, there is potential for anything. There's potential for anything to happen when God is present. When you know that God is always present, that means no matter what circumstance you go into, there's always potential for the miraculous. There's always the potential for something happening that you weren't expecting. So we read Psalms 42. Let's go to Psalms 42 real quick. Psalms 42. Wherever God's presence is, there is a potential for anything to happen. Turn to your neighbor and say, whatever your problem is, there's potential for anything to happen. Amen. There's potential for anything to happen. How many of y'all need something to change in your life right now? All right. There we go. Find out if I'm talking to y'all or not. Wrong chapter. Psalm 42. Did I tell you guys Psalm 42? I was in Isaiah 42. Let me turn. Wrong one. Turn to your neighbor and say, anything could happen. Pastor might turn to the right passage. Anything could happen. Praise the Lord. All right, here we go. Verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? See, the author of this psalm is asking the question of himself, why am I down right now? The rest of the psalm starts is talking about my soul is panting after God, and people are talking about me, and people are looking at me funny, and people are thinking about me, asking me, where's your God now? You're in your bad situation. You're in a bad stretch. Where's God at right now? And these people are saying this, but the question is, why am I cast? Why am I worried about what they think? Why am I cast down? Why have I let my soul get cast down? My hope is not in those people. My hope is in God and God alone. Why is my soul cast down? Why am I troubled over something? People can look at you and say, I don't see any potential in you. They say, well, wait a minute. God's with me. There's all kind of potential in me. You don't understand. You're misguided. You don't have the right eyes to look at my situation. People can look at you and think of you not as what you've been created to be, but just what they see on the surface. Because people make judgments with their eyes. But the anointing of God, we're talking in Isaiah chapter 11, it says that he will not judge with his eyes, but by the Spirit of the Lord. See, God sees what other people cannot see. God sees what other people choose to ignore, because everybody looks at your life through their personal filters. So it's in our best interest to be able to see what God sees. It's in our best interest to be able to speak God's language so that we can unlock what other people can't see. And the first thing I need to unlock is me. The first thing I need to unlock is me and release my own potential to do what God has put in me to do. See, there's many of us who have allowed the world system to put us in a personal box. A personal box becomes the box that says, you know what? You're from this neighborhood, so you can only go here. You know what? You're of this culture, so you can only do this. You know what? You're only this height, so you can only do these things. You know what? You're this weight, so that means you can't do this. You're this, or you're that, or you're this age, and that means your time has passed. Or you're too young to do this or that. All these boxes that the world creates around your life, all of them deny one simple fact: they're not God. And because they're not God, they don't get to pick the boundary for my life. But what does God say? God says, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart are going to come the issues or the boundaries for your life. The only boundary in your life is what's in your heart. And what's in your heart can be changed if you learn how to start talking to God, who can control the condition of your heart. The only boundary on humanity, go to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. God made humanity, sent humanity out. Humanity got so wicked, he had to destroy it. He sent a flood. And then after the flood, he sent a rainbow. He sent the rainbow to say, this is a sign that I'm not going to destroy the world by water again. And now there comes the repopulation of humanity, and God tells them, I need you to go and spread across the whole world. Spread across the whole world. And this is what happened. Genesis chapter 11. We're going to read all the way through verse 9. Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. Look at this. Now the whole earth had one language. Turn your neighbor and say, one language. And one speech. There we go. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Now God told them to go all over the place, and they decided they were going to dwell somewhere. They decided they were going to stop. They stopped the plan of God. They ended the plan of God early. They decided they were going to do what they wanted to do. Now, verse 3. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. Now, where did they get asphalt from? Where'd they get asphalt from? Now, okay, I'm confirming what I'm telling you. Sometimes our mind has barriers. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to get back to this. How did they build those pyramids without electronic cranes and gasoline and all kinds of stuff? How did they build those things? No alien came. Now, let me cancel it. No alien came down and helped them build it. Let's boot that out of the atmosphere right now. They had technology because they weren't bound in their minds. They have technology that we look at and we can't figure it out because we have blocks in our mind because we think we know how to build things. And if somebody's building something a way that we don't understand, we don't get it, and we say, well, it must have been an alien came down. Well, them aliens was all over the place because I saw a pyramid in Mexico. Them some bad aliens, man. They were getting all over the place. Wasn't no aliens. Revelation. They had asphalt in Genesis chapter 11. All right, let me get back to the passage here. Verse 4. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Now they decided they're going to build a tower up to heaven. They got asphalt and mortar. They're making bricks. In Genesis chapter 11, ain't none of them been to college. They engineering stuff and ain't none of them been to college. None of them. Now listen to this. This is powerful. Verse 5. But the Lord came down. Uh-oh. Sounds like it might be a problem, huh? You're doing something and the Lord had to come down. How many of y'all was bad little kids? Thank y'all for being honest. What does it mean if you hear your mother scream, don't make me come down there? Somebody's in trouble, right? Mm-hmm. All the bad kids say amen. Thank you. But the Lord, verse 5, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, listen close. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are what? And they all have one. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be what? Withheld from them. Now, nothing that they propose to do. Turn to your neighbor and say, what do you propose to do? Nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Now, this is not me talking. This is God talking. This is God talking. God said, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. So let's knock another lie of the devil out of the park. God is not stopping you from doing anything. Look at verse 6 again. And the Lord indeed The Lord said, indeed, the people are what? And they have what? So it sounds like the key to doing whatever you propose to do is to being unified and having one language. See, what stops any church or anybody, any people from doing anything is not God coming down and stopping you. What stops is when people are not unified and they're not of the same language. That's when we get problems. That's when we get derailed. That's when we get stopped from doing the things that we have proposed in our heart to do. It's not God. God has made a commitment. I'm not going to stop them. So you know what? A group of people said, we are going to the moon. God said, go for it. Right ahead. A group of people decide, we're going to do something wrong. God said, fine, do it. I'm not going to stop you. The only way God steps in is when God needs to bring his will to pass. Look at the next verse, verse 7. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Important thing here. God only confused their language because he had already told them to do something else. He didn't step in and say, don't try to build a tower up to heaven. He didn't say that. He just said, no, I told them to spread over all the earth. Go back to verse 1. Take a look at verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language, one speech. Verse 2, when it came to pass, they journeyed from there. They found a plain and they dwelt there. They decided that they wanted to go. They decided that they wanted to do something different. They were of one language, one mind, one heart. And because they were able to do something that most people would not understand. They were able to invent things. They invented asphalt in order to create this tower. They made bricks. Whatever they didn't have, they created what they needed. What stops you from doing what God's called you to do? What stops you from doing whatever you purposed in your heart to do? Man was created triune in the image of God. Spirit, soul, body, the image of God. Because God created man, spirit, soul, and body, we now have a warfare inside of us. Your spirit knows what God wants and wants to move. Your mind has thought about what could possibly happen. And your body's like, just give me instructions, I'll do what you tell me to do. Any part of your life where your spirit, your soul, and your body are aligned, you are invincible. Any area of your life, when you can get your spirit and your soul and your body aligned, nothing can stop you. Because your spirit, soul, and body are of one language, you will operate. You'll be victorious in whatever you face. The problem is that we hear God's word and our spirit starts to get an anchor. But the mind that has not yet been renewed to the word starts to tell you all the reasons why you shouldn't obey God. It starts to justify your position. So God says, walk the love walk. You say, praise the Lord, my spirit is right there. Lord, I am with you. I'm ready to walk the love. I'm ready. Lord, I'm ready to walk the love walk. But then as soon as somebody steps on your brand new pair of shoes, your mind starts saying, man, do you know how much I paid for them shoes? I knew how long I was looking for those shoes. And your behavior no longer is aligned. And so you don't walk in the victory you want. Because now your mind is fighting against your spirit. and your body saying, just tell me what to do. Tracy laughing. Yeah, just tell me what to do. And most often, we then do what our mind says to do. Because most of us haven't cultivated our spirit to be in control. So I got sick. And I started having these challenges. And I'm kind of battling with this thing. And the doctor tells me what to do. And I get, okay, good. My spirit wants healing. The doctors explain to me that what's wrong with me is not a disease, that it's an environmental thing. I've created an environment for this thing to flourish. So if I get rid of the environment, I can walk right into the healing. And so I started doing it. And I walk right out of it. And the doctor said, are you taking the medication? I said, nope. He said, wow, but look at this. You're doing well. I said, absolutely. Walked right out of it. Then the urgency left. And I slid back into my old behaviors. And what I just had victory over walked right back in and slapped me like it owned me. It took me over. It came right back. Why'd it come back? Because I dropped the alignment. See, let's go back to George Washington Carver. He said, every day I rise up at 4 o'clock and I go into the woods to talk with God. There he gives me my orders for the day. See, if we can listen to God's orders for the day, he will set us in position to be aligned in his will. And we'll be able to walk in a victorious manner through everything. It's when we drop it. It's when we insist on doing something. Because see, this is what we don't understand. Because we don't have enough foresight. We can't see past things. We can see the present, but we can't see the future. And so what happens is there are ways that seem right to us. This is what the book of Proverbs says. There's a way that seems right to a man, but that way, the end of it is destruction. Why? Because you can't see the end. You're only looking at what seems right now. It seems right. I'm going to do this. That's why it's critical to talk to God. Because God is not limited to see only now. God sees the future. God sees what's going on. And God sometimes gives us direction that seems like foolishness. But it's only foolishness because we can't see past. Let me tell you what seemed like foolishness. Something happened to me years ago. My mother told me, best way to tell the story without going long, long, long details. My mother told me, when you get ready to get married, you're going to need to do this, this, and this. But you need to do it now. When you get married, you're going to have to be able to do this, this, and this. But you need to do it now. I don't need to do it now. That makes no difference to my life right now. I don't need to do that right now. I'll do that when the time comes. And now ain't the time. That's what I told my mother. It ain't the time. So sure enough, I get married, and I should have listened to my mother. Why? Because when I'm a certain age, and I'm looking at life through my lenses, everything seems right to me because I ain't experienced nothing. It all seems right to me because I have had no experiences. My mother, who's had experiences, is telling me, you're going to need to put this in place. Otherwise, it's going to be a problem for you later on. I can't see that because I haven't been there. So it was a way that seemed right to me, but it almost led to destruction in my marriage. Why? Because you got to be open to hear things that you can't hear in the moment. George Washington Carver talked to a peanut, and he got wisdom, understanding about things to come, about in things that had not been invented, things had not been before. I'm going to tell you, God will give you wisdom and understanding. He will send things into your environment to help you and give you wisdom that other people don't even understand yet. And why will he do it? Because he's called his people to rule the world. Did you say rule the world? Yeah, I said rule the world. He's called us to exercise dominion. He's called us that when he created Adam, he said, listen, I've made you. Now I want you to go have dominion over all the earth. Now, the problem for us is we start thinking about dominion. We start thinking about global dominion. First, I need to just dominate this ground where I'm standing. That's my first step. My first step is to dominate the ground where I'm standing. How do I do that? I do that by going in early in the morning and praying and seeing what God would have me to do in the laboratory he's sending me into for the day. So my first prayer is, Lord, show me what to do when I go into this environment called my job. Lord, show me what to do to give me divine wisdom. Tell me what I need to know in order to unlock secrets in the place where I work, in the place where I go, in the place where I shop, in the place where I imagine what I want to do next. Whatever I hear from God, that he becomes a purpose in my heart. God says, if you purpose this in your heart and you get in alignment, then nothing will stop you. If you made up your mind, if you made up your mind about anything, purposed in your heart, and you made up your mind about it, and then you took it to God and said, God, here's what I purposed in my heart. Is it in agreement with your will? God will tell back to you, and he will tell you things that you don't know. Go to Jeremiah 33 and 3. Actually, let's start at verse 1. 1 through 3. Listen to this. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Tell your neighbor, the word of the Lord came to him. While he was still shut up in the court of the prison. God came and visited this man in the prison. God came and talked to him in the prison while he was shut up in the court of the prison. He says, listen, verse 2, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. If you call on me, I will answer you. I will show you things you don't know. See, Christianity has been made to be a church religion, and it's not. Christianity is not a church religion. Church is where we come to share the word. Church is where we come to share our worship together. But Christianity is God saying to us, I send Jesus to be a salvation for you. And I send my spirit to be in you. And I send you out to the world to tell them all the things that I'm able to do. That's Christianity. See, Christianity isn't coming to church. Christianity is about learning to talk to the Creator, who we've been excluded from because sin has separated us from him. sin separated us from God. And because it is, he sent a Savior to come and to reconnect us with him. And once we're reconnected, now he says, now call on me and I will answer you and I will show you things you don't know. I will reveal things to you. I'll tell you how to handle your business. I'll show you how to handle situations. I'll show you how to heal the relationship you're having to struggle with. I will show you how to get your body well. I'll show you how to manage the things that are put into your hands. I'll show you how to even talk to me. George Washington Carver said, he didn't say, I learned how to pray at church. He said, I walked out into the forest and I started talking to God. Long as I can remember, I would go out into the forest and God would start talking to me. Then he went to church and he learned more. Church is where we come to learn. Church is not the end destination for our faith. See, when we believe that church is the end destination, then we come to church to see what we can get. When we understand that church is part of our experience, then we come to worship the Lord and let him speak to us so that we go forth and do the things that we're called to do. That we can begin hearing the ideas that God has for our lives. We can begin seeing what God has for us. And we start moving forward and we go into environments where other people say, this is a dead end. And we say, no, it's not. God can do anything, anything. What I want you to understand today, I didn't even preach my message. I'm on totally something else here. So let's just finish it. Since we're in it, let's do it. Romans 8. Go Romans 8:18-22. Romans 8:18-22. Yes, Lord. Here we go. Nothing will be withheld from you. Call on him, he'll answer you, show you things you don't know. And then this is what you need to know about yourself. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Remember when we were looking in Isaiah, the angel was screaming, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. All the world is filled with what? His glory. All the world is filled with God's glory, but this passage said, nothing is to be compared with the glory which will be revealed where? You need to feel good about yourself, folks. You need to feel real good about yourself. You need to know the glory of the Lord is going to be revealed in you. It's going to be revealed in who you are. When you show up, you bring the glory of the Lord into an environment. When you show up, you bring the glory of God. And you need to be able to do that confidently, walking into an environment knowing I brought the glory of the Lord. Not pride in yourself, but Christ in me is the hope of glory. He is the hope of everyone else getting glory. Because he's in me and I'm bringing an environment, he can be in you too. I'm not special because, listen, how many of y'all got a special glass at the house? It's slow. Some of those hands were slow to come up. I know y'all got a special glass at the house. You got that one glass you like to drink out of all the time, right? And somebody touched your glass. Well, where was my glass? You panic when your glass is not where it's supposed to be. It's your special glass, right? I can put a gasoline in your special glass, and no matter how special the glass is, what you drink is still no good. Because the glass is only special because we're sensitive to it. What's important is what's in the glass. See, you're a special glass to the people around you. They like seeing you come around. Your mother loves you. She's an old baby, you're special.
People around you, they say you're special. But you're special because they love you. But what makes you extra special is what's in you. All the world is filled with his glory, the glory that's revealed in us. What makes us special is that we've been filled with God. And even if you are that dirty, how many of y'all got that glass nobody drinks out of in the house? Ain't nobody throwing it away yet. It's just sitting up in the cabinet. I know y'all got a glass like that. I didn't say it was dirty. I just said it's a glass nobody drank out of. I didn't say it was nothing wrong with the glass. Just y'all ain't never gone to an A's game or something and had kept that glass, and it's sitting up in there, y'all ain't never drank it. Now, how many of y'all got that glass? All right, see, I knew y'all had that glass in there. Ain't nobody drinking out of that glass, but nobody throws it away. Guess what? Put your favorite drink in that glass, and now all of a sudden the glass is special. Because it's not the glass, it's what's in the glass. See, the glory of the Lord is poured. This is what God has promised. I'm pouring my glory out. I'm pouring my glory out. All the world is awaiting this glory. Look at verse 18 again. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not to be worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. There's a glory that's revealed in you. Verse 19, the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because him who subjected in hope, because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. When you rise up and do what you've been called to do, most of the problems in this world will evaporate. If the church ever stopped playing church and started actually being Christians, and I started doing what God has called us to do, and being the special people that we're called to be, being excellent, being what God has called us to be, most of the issues in the world would evaporate. I had to call my former job. I called them up. I said, hey, how's it going? They said, it's different since you left. I know it is. Not because I'm proud of me. I know what I am. I know I'm a glass. I know I'm a glass. I know I'm a container. I know that I'm a container. And I know that whatever gets poured into me by the Lord will be what needs to be poured in for the environment he sends me into. So wherever he sends me, I know that I am there to make a difference. And because I can slow down and talk to God and listen to God, and know what to do when he speaks, we extend the power of God past people looking for miracles. We start seeing that God starts to unlock heaven in the place where I stand. And most of the people who don't like me, most of the people, if I encounter them and they don't like me, well, I'll put it this way. I know people who don't like me, but when they get around me, they can't say nothing to me. Why? Because the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. I know people who want to tell me off, but when they see me, they can't say nothing. Why? Because of the glory of the Lord. I know people who get angry when I come into their presence. Why? The glory of the Lord. See, if you love God and you come into my presence, you probably can't fuss at me too much. Unless I come out of alignment with God. If I stay in alignment with God, eventually you can't continue to fuss. It's going to calm down. Why? Because the glory of the Lord. If I get unaligned and I start fussing back, then we're going up. It's going to escalate.
If you don't know God and you come into my presence and you start fussing, sometimes you don't know why you're agitated. Sometimes it's that devil riding on your back that's getting mad because I'm here to set you free. Not me, you. That's what you are. You are the container of God. You're the one who walks around, who God can talk to all the time. And sometimes God's talking to you, but we don't hear him unless he has an incentive with him. Remember I told you about my dog? My dog don't understand until I have that incentive. Sometimes we don't get what God is saying until he blesses us. Then we go, oh, that's what God was saying. Because all of a sudden now we become of the same language with God. What am I getting at? I'm going to close with this. I believe that among this group, we're going to continue to get a new revelation of God. I believe among this group, there's going to be an awakening of not my words, but God's word in our hearts. That's not interpreted through religious filter. Was interpreted through, what did God really, just say nothing that I purpose in my heart is going to be withheld from me? Did I really just read that? Did I really just read that God himself will not stop what I purpose in my heart? Did I really just read that all the world is awaiting the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God, of whom I am? The world is waiting for me? Did I just read that? And take all the religion off of it. Take all of the church off of it. And start thinking about you and God. You and God. And then begin looking around. Who's speaking the same language as me? Wait a minute, who's speaking the same language? Who's speaking the same language? All right, we're speaking the same language. What did God tell you? Okay, that's what God told me. Let's do this. Let's do this. Man, you know what I hear in my heart? I hear that we need to do something for the kids of this neighborhood. I heard that too. Let's be of the same language. Same mind, and let's do it. Because it won't be withheld. The problem is, we get it and we start trying to do it ourselves. Instead of listening, who else? When God scattered them, the ones with the same language found each other. The ones with the same language, we said, if they didn't find each other, we wouldn't have civilization right now because everybody would be talking a different language. We wouldn't understand. The people who had the same language designed by God, because God's the one that scattered it, they found each other and they began walking together, doing what they were told to do by God. If you speak a business language, find some other folks that speak a business language to start moving with God. If you speak the education language, let's find some other people to speak that language. Let's move. If you speak the shopping language, find some other people who speak the language and start selling something. Now, I'm turning that around real quick. So we got some brothers that in this church that speak a sports language. You know what we're going to do? Bring them together. Let them do something as unto the Lord. Whatever language you speak, let's find those people who speak the language. Let's band together. Let's put down the pride. Let's move and do what God has got for us to do. And it don't have to be doing church. We can be doing whatever God has put on our hearts to do because God himself won't stop it. As a matter of fact, I have reason to believe God will support it. All right, tap your neighbor and say, I speak your language. All I said was speak your language, and y'all got all these other conversations going on. All that extra. See, y'all do speak the same language, huh? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up on your feet. Let's pray. To all of our visitors, thank you guys for being here today. If you have somebody who's visiting next to you, reach out and shake their hand. Give them a little love, introduce yourself.